The $435 billion question. And why Amendment 7 could require even more. An Act for Missouri audio article. Amendment 7 promises a future in which investment earnings support Missouri government and state taxes disappear. It is an appealing promise, but it leaves voters with a much harder question. How much public money must be locked away, for how long, and who benefits while Missouri waits? After reviewing the amendment and its fiscal note, Act for Missouri recommends voting no on Amendment 7. Here is why. Amendment 7 is the ballot version of Senate Joint Resolution 95. It would create the Show Me Prosperity Fund, a permanent public endowment. The General Assembly could appropriate public money into the fund. The fund could also accept gifts, donations, grants, and bequests. The state treasurer would invest the money in exchange-traded funds that track the S&P 500, or a comparable successor index designated by law. An exchange-traded fund, commonly called an ETF, is a basket of investments whose shares trade on a stock exchange. An S&P 500 ETF is designed to follow the performance of 500 large American companies. The amendment contains some real safeguards. The fund's principal could not be appropriated, pledged, or borrowed against. Its balance and performance would have to be published at least quarterly. And the state auditor would review compliance at least once every 3 fiscal years. But the most important issue is the trigger for tax relief. Amendment 7 says that no money may be appropriated from the fund until the treasurer notifies the General Assembly that the previous fiscal year's net investment earnings are sufficient to replace the revenue generated by all the taxes listed in the amendment. Those taxes include the individual income tax, the state sales and use tax, the corporate income tax, and all other state-imposed taxes. The General Assembly must then approve the treasurer's notification by concurrent resolution. This is important because the proposal may sometimes be described as a way to eliminate one tax at a time. Lawmakers may be able to determine the order of tax elimination after the trigger is reached. But the amendment does not allow the fund to begin replacing even one tax until its earnings pass the all taxes test. The official fiscal note confirms that interpretation. The Department of Revenue concluded that no money could be appropriated from the fund until it was large enough to cover the listed taxes. In his August 7th analysis, Ron Calzone summarized the central concern in one sentence. He wrote, quote, "We are back to the question of trust," end quote. That trust could be required for decades or even generations. Money deposited into the fund would be unavailable for tax relief and unavailable for any other public purpose until the trigger is reached. Missouri voters have recently sent a strong message about trust. In the August 2026 election, more than 80% of voters rejected Amendment 4. Roughly 83% rejected Amendment 5. Those were different proposals, and their defeats do not automatically decide Amendment 7. But both asked citizens to approve major constitutional changes while leaving consequential decisions to elected officials and later implementation. The scale of those defeats should warn lawmakers against another "trust us, the details can come later" proposal. Amendment 7 asks voters to approve the permanent constitutional structure first, then trust future legislatures to decide how much public money to commit, when to commit it, which taxes to eliminate first, and what protections should govern the selection of investment providers. Now consider how large the fund might have to become. An $8 billion illustration would cover only part of Amendment 7's requirement. It is roughly comparable to the individual income tax alone. But the amendment does not allow the trigger to be based on that tax alone. It requires sufficient net earnings to replace the individual income tax, state sales and use tax, corporate income tax, and all other state-imposed taxes. Missouri's June 2026 General Revenue Report gives us a useful current benchmark. For fiscal year 2026, the state reported $9.14 billion in gross individual income tax collections. It reported $3.4 billion in sales and use tax collections, and approximately $763 million in corporate income and franchise tax collections. The report also included approximately $576 million in pass-through entity taxes and $1.07 billion in other collections. After approximately $1.89 billion in refunds, total net general revenue collections were about $13.05 billion. The amendment and fiscal note do not provide an official dollar amount for the all taxes trigger. Therefore, $13.05 billion should be treated as a conservative benchmark, not a definitive forecast. The actual target would change as tax collections, tax laws, economic conditions, and the interpretation of all other state-imposed tax change. But the word net matters. Amendment 7 requires investment management fees and expenses to be deducted before the treasurer determines whether the fund's earnings are sufficient to replace the listed taxes. Without fees, a fund of approximately $163.1 billion, earning 8%, would produce $13.05 billion. Now, suppose the investment carries an annual management fee of 0.06%. That is 0.06%. At that fund size, the fee would subtract approximately $98 million, leaving only about $12.95 billion before any other expenses. If the conservative tax replacement benchmark were $13.05 billion, the fund would miss the trigger. Under those simplified assumptions, the fund would need approximately $164.4 billion to produce $13.05 billion after that fee. Fees would also slow the growth of the fund while Missouri waits. Amendment 7 contains a second rule. Annual appropriations may not exceed 3% of the fund's average market value during the preceding five fiscal years. If Missouri needed $13.05 billion of spendable money under that 3% limit, the fund's five-year average value would have to be approximately $435 billion. That is the $435 billion question. And even that may be too low. General revenue is not the same thing as every state-imposed tax. Missouri also collects state taxes that support dedicated funds. The Department of Revenue's fiscal year 2025 report lists approximately $18.57 billion in state taxes administered, after excluding local sales and use taxes. If that broader figure approximated the constitutional trigger, the 3% spending limit would require a fund of approximately $619 billion. That does not establish the final legal number. The amendment and fiscal note do not calculate one. It shows why $435 billion is best understood as a conservative benchmark, and why the actual requirement could be substantially higher. The amendment's two tests do not line up. A strong year in the stock market might allow the treasurer to certify that the previous year's earnings were sufficient. But the five-year spending limit could still prevent the fund from replacing the same amount of tax revenue. The five-year average is not a bad idea by itself. It helps smooth out market swings and protects the fund from spending too much after one unusually good year. The problem is that Amendment 7 uses one measurement to activate the fund and a different, more restrictive measurement to limit what can actually be spent. Then there is the question of management fees. Amendment 7 does not name a particular ETF company. It directs the treasurer to invest in qualifying funds that track the S&P 500, subject to fiduciary standards and applicable law. But the amendment itself does not impose a fee cap. It does not require the lowest cost qualifying fund. It does not mandate competitive bidding. It does not limit how much money can be placed with one provider. And it does not require an independent board to approve the selection. At these fund sizes, percentages that appear tiny can generate enormous fees. A fee of 0.03% would equal approximately $130.5 million a year on a $435 billion fund. On a $619 billion fund, it would be about $185.7 million annually. A fee of 0.06% would equal approximately $261 million a year on $435 billion, or approximately $371.4 million a year on $619 billion. A fee of 0.1% would equal $435 million a year on a $435 billion fund, or approximately $619 million annually on a $619 billion fund. These numbers are illustrations. They are not predictions of the fee a future treasurer would negotiate or the amount any particular company would receive. But they show why the selection process matters. Who would be chosen to manage these public assets? Existing law may govern parts of a future selection, and the treasurer would remain subject to fiduciary duties. But Amendment 7 itself does not guarantee an open public request for proposals, objective scoring, disclosure of relevant political contributions and financial relationships, independent approval, or mandatory recusals. Without those protections, how would Missouri prevent the selection from becoming a political reward, or even creating the appearance of one? At a minimum, implementing law should require an open competitive process, published standards for fees, tracking accuracy, liquidity, and risk, disclosure of relevant political and financial relationships, mandatory recusals, independent review, and annual reporting of every provider and every dollar of fees. Lawmakers could adopt those protections later. But the amendment does not guarantee them, and a future legislature could change ordinary statutes. The official fiscal note leaves other major questions unanswered. It does not estimate how much Missouri would deposit, how long accumulation would take, how much public spending or earlier tax relief would be foregone, or how much investment providers would receive. Instead, the fiscal note reports future general revenue appropriations as zero or unknown, because the timing and amount would be left to future legislatures. The ballot information says state and local governmental entities estimate no costs or savings. That does not mean the endowment can be built for free. It means agencies could not calculate the future discretionary deposits or tax changes from the amendment alone. This uncertainty deserves special attention because Missouri is already facing a serious budget squeeze. In June 2026, the Missouri State Auditor warned that the budget then authorized by the General Assembly was projected to spend more than $1.7 billion above ongoing revenue in fiscal year 2027. That is nearly $2 billion. After vetoes and spending restrictions, the governor signed what his office described as a balanced budget. But the administration still acknowledged that lawmakers had used more than $179 million in one-time cash to pay ongoing costs. It also projected a shortfall of more than $500 million in fiscal year 2028. Amendment 7 does not require an immediate deposit, so the initial cost remains unknown. But every general revenue dollar eventually placed in the fund would become permanent principal. It could not be appropriated, pledged, or borrowed against, even during a later budget emergency. A permanent endowment can be valuable when contributions come from genuine surpluses. But saving is not free when recurring spending already exceeds recurring revenue. Deposits could force choices involving public services, other taxes, or additional one-time money elsewhere in the budget. Before authorizing this structure, voters deserve to know where the contributions would come from and whether Missouri can lock that money away without worsening an already difficult budget outlook. Eliminating taxes through investment earnings is an attractive goal, but the promise is much simpler than the commitment. Amendment 7 asks voters to place a permanent structure in the Missouri Constitution before lawmakers identify where the money will come from, how much will be required, how investment providers will be selected, or how fees and conflicts will be controlled. Missourians could contribute enormous sums for decades, perhaps generations, without receiving any tax relief. Using current net general revenue as a conservative benchmark produces a $435 billion requirement under the 3% spending limit. A broader measure of state taxes points to more than $600 billion. The target could keep moving as state revenue changes. Fees would be deducted before the trigger is tested, and private firms could collect substantial annual fees long before the fund eliminates a single tax. A sound constitutional amendment should answer these questions before asking voters for permanent authority. Amendment 7 does not. For those reasons, Act for Missouri recommends voting no on Amendment 7. You can read the complete article, the final text of Senate Joint Resolution 95, the official fiscal note, and the supporting sources at actformissouri.org. Thank you for listening.